Welcome to our special Bogosity Year in Review podcast for 2014. Well, this is your host, Shane Killian. Joining me right now, we have Daniel Wilcox.
Hiya.
Charles Thomas.
Hello.
And Jonathan Lochey.
Mazel tov.
So, wow, it's been quite a year, hasn't it, guys?
A lot of good, a lot of bad, and some interesting.
So much bogus. I don't know how many weeks I was like, now come on, you can't all be idiot extraordinaire. Just go look through the nomination thread, but there'll be plenty of time for bogus later because remember, this was a record-breaking year for the Silver Kluon Award.
Well, that's a good thing.
Woo! So there is hope.
Yeah. 5 Silver Kluon recipients for 2014. And the first one went to James Wilson and Perry Willis on the 13th of April. And this had to do with the McCutcheon Supreme Court decision. And this was sort of like the Citizens United, where they said, you know what? Money is free speech and you can't restrict free speech. So they removed all of the caps for people giving to candidates. And well, they said, well, that means that the rich can just buy a politician. Well, no, because the individual limits were there. You could still only give 2,600 to individual candidates, 32,400 to national party committees, and 5,000 to PACs. That didn't change. They just removed the overall caps for how much you could give to all candidates, PACs, and parties, and everything else. And, of course, all the bawling was about how this means that the rich will have more influence over elections. And, of course, the whole point of this so-called campaign finance reform is to give the rich more control over elections and make it harder for challengers.
Mm-hmm.
Even not taking that into account, there's the very important question. How many people in government are rich?
Pretty much all of them. So it's like that wouldn't change, but the mantra we kept hearing was, money isn't speech, money isn't speech. And so James Wilson and Perry Willis, when they wrote about the McCutcheon case, because Downsize DC, their organization, had filed a brief in that case, and they had won.
Well, I remember them.
They wrote this short little essay about money isn't speech, and the part that won them the Silver Kluon was, quote, money isn't speech. After all, the machine through which Stephen Hawking speaks clearly required no money to build a program. It never needs maintenance. It just magically appeared and will run forever. Extend the reasoning. Money isn't religion. No church needs money to function. Money isn't the press. It costs nothing to publish books, magazines, and newspapers. Money isn't assembly. No one ever pays rent on a meeting space. Here's the truth. The statists could repeal the entire First Amendment simply by forbidding anyone to spend money on speech, religion, press, or assembly. The slave cannot earn or spend as he or she chooses, but a free person can. Which do you want to be?
Well, that depends on whether I'm in the bedroom or not.
We won't go there, and we definitely won't go to yours. All right. Next one was on the 26th of May. Tyler Vegan got it for his webpage Spurious Correlations, where he showed things like that U.S. spending on science, space, and technology correlates directly with suicides by hanging, strangulation, and suffocation. Or the number of people who drowned by falling into a swimming pool is directly correlated with the number of films Nicolas Cage appears in.
They should stop casting Nicolas Cage.
Or the per capita consumption of cheese in the U.S. correlates with the number of people who died by becoming tangled in their bedsheets.
And I don't necessarily mean that to stop, these swimming pool incidents. Just stop casting Nicolas Cage.
There we go. That's a good thing. And he even has a place where you can select your own correlations and see the weird stuff that can go together. So just making the case, correlation is not causation, people. So our third one went on July 7th to the Electronic Frontier Foundation. It's no secret I've been fans of them for, two decades or something like that. Basically ever since they've been around and they've been at the forefront of the online freedom movement, against the DMCA, things like that.
F them.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry. It was right there.
I know. I can't blame you. But anyway, they're not just like a think tank who just writes articles or whatever. They're actually doing stuff. They're working on now on technology that would vastly improve the SSL system that encrypts the web and keeps us secure, things like that. They've written browser extensions and other things to help us with our privacy. And, of course, they've done a lot of activism. And the one that won them the Silver Kluon was when they hired a blimp.
Oh, yeah.
That says NSA illegal spying below and flew it over the NSA headquarters.
I was there on that podcast. I loved it then and I love it now.
And, of course, they've got pictures of it and video and everything. That's just beautiful. You got to love that. And then NVIDIA and Mark Daly raised the bar on the 6th of October with their new GPU technology, which they used to debunk the moon landing hoax. And specifically, well, they did a couple of them, but the one that I was really impressed with was the one where, I don't know if it's Armstrong or I think it's Aldrin is getting out of the lander and Armstrong's taking his picture. And the hoaxers are saying, like, look how lit up he is. And everyone's saying, well, because, you know, you've got light scattering from the lunar surface. Well, they actually set it up and tried it. And it's interesting because although they debunked the conspiracy theory, they found that just the light bouncing off of the surface wasn't enough to illuminate him as much as it did in the photo. So it looked like there was another light source from somewhere, and they thought, duh, Armstrong's right there with his bright suit. They put Armstrong in that position with the light reflecting off his suit, and that filled the rest of it in, and it was perfect.
And that was, and yet they'll still be, and that's the problem though with conspiracy theorists, is that even though the answer is staring right in the face, they'll still look and nitpick saying, but there's still a C on that little rock. That means it was on a prop.
Yeah.
And it was a stage and everything else that has been debunked so many times that it's comical.
They'll just keep moving the goalposts.
Yep.
Sadly, that is true. So this will continue, unfortunately. But then, David Mazieris, Eddie Kohler, and Peter Vamplew got in one more, the record-breaking fifth Silver Kluon for 2014 at almost the last second on 8th of December, when Peter Vamplew sent Mazieris and Kohler's paper to a journal, and the paper was called, Get Me Off Your Fucking Mailing List. And the text of it was just, Get Me Off Your Fucking Mailing List over and over again, and even have diagrams and everything that spelled out, Get Me Off Your Fucking Mailing List. And it got accepted for publication.
And that is beautiful right there.
Really? I'm sorry.
And that was in the International Journal of Advanced Computer Technology. I mean, it's just one of the... These are kind of popping up all over the place. It's like, you send in as a, congratulations, you've been selected for publication. Just give us $150 and we'll publish it. And it didn't actually get published because he didn't pony up the dough. But that's what it is. It's basically a scam. But, you know, this really exposed it. Because clearly no human being... They claim to be peer-reviewed. Clearly no human being ever laid eyes on this thing.
Yeah, they just pass it on to someone else saying, you know, look at it. What time?
No, I don't even think it's that. I think it was just completely automated.
Yeah. Let's put it up there. What's the worst that can happen? Oh, no.
I actually... I had a few calls from the same scam artists recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, not the same as these, probably. But have you gotten any calls about trying to sell you security and you have to update Windows? And
oh, yeah.
Oh, that's been going around a while. They'll call you up and they'll claim to be from Microsoft and say, we found a virus on your machine. Give us remote access so we can fix it.
Yeah, I got called. And I'm always got tricked by one. I'm like, no. I was like, oh, man. And then I sat there and said, no, thank you. And I hanged up because, you know, I got, it was really weird.
Microsoft will not call you like that, people. Those are out there, and a lot of people have gotten bit by them. I've cleaned up a few of them this year. You know, people who have hired me to clean up there.
I am ashamed to say I was among them.
Oh, really? It worked?
Yeah, I felt like such an idiot.
Oh, how badly did they mess up your system?
Not too badly. I sent it in to a guy I know who does my computer work for free.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Didn't cost you anything, at least.
So, yeah.
I charged $200 for it, so...
I'm screwed, dude. That would be screwed. But thank you, my dad knows how to do computers, so I'm happy.
Okay. Also, a big shout-out to John Campbell at Beach PCs.
Okay. I almost got scammed. I think this was like a year ago. Just in my job hunting stuff, there was this guy who just wanted me to do, you know, some video work and maybe some web work, just a few hours a week, and it'd be a couple $100 here and there. And so there was nothing really, it wasn't like a get-rich-quick thing, there was nothing that stood out. And, you know, I checked him out. Okay, he's got a LinkedIn. There's his webpage and stuff like that. And I don't remember exactly what it was that clued me in, that kind of made me take a second look. But I went back to his webpage, and while the webpage looked fine, when I clicked links, I just got placeholder text. And I noticed that on his LinkedIn page, he didn't have any connections at all, zero connections. And so I decided to look for his address that he had given me. That was his office address. And I looked it up on Google, and I went to the street view, and it was like this seedy looking motel room.
Oh, God.
And I was like, oh, it's like he almost got. And what I think he was doing was he had said earlier that he'd pay me through direct deposit. And of course, to get paid through the direct deposit, you give him your bank account number. So I think that's the scam he was doing. He was going through all that trying to get my bank account number.
Yeah, anything that I ever have to do through independent contract work, no, just mail me the check. I can wait a week.
Yeah, or do it over PayPal or something. But it was like, yeah, I mean, but it really emphasized that even as security conscious as I am, there is a pathway for me being scammed.
Yeah, I had one. Somebody called up saying they were Comcast. And talking about internet outages or something, and they wanted my your modem number.
Ah.
And that was like sort of what tipped me off, and then I realized the call, you know, any call I've ever gotten officially from Comcast, it'll say right there on my caller ID, Comcast.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's okay, send to me in an email.
Yeah, you gotta be careful.
You never know what's lurking in the darkness, in the web, and everything else, so you guys gotta be careful.
Yeah. There's a lot of scammers out there, but it's nice when they're exposed, and certainly when they're exposed in a hilarious way such as this, so...
At least we know we'll never fall for a fake Obamacare site.
Couldn't be any worse. You know how you tell a fake Obamacare site?
It actually works.
Oh, God. But congratulations to Peter Van Plue for using Mazieres and Kohler's paper in this way and getting the fifth silver clue on. For 2014, and here's kind of waiting to see what 2015 holds to see if it gets even better. Well, now it's time for the main event. We're gonna name this year's
Idiot of the Year!
And now it's next year.
I know that's shorter than my usual fare, but...
Yeah, you gotta work on your lung power there. Alright, before we get to everyone's nominations, I'm gonna do what I do every year and look at the ones that got multiple recipients, because they definitely have to be contenders, you know? And the first one I want to talk about is the WHO, and they got it...
Wait, who?
The World Health Organization. Oh, I... You're doing it again, aren't you?
Sorry.
Anyway, they got it back on the 1st of September because they wanted to ban e-cigarettes.
Yes, because e-cigarettes are going to kill everybody. No.
They saved my mother's life.
How did they save your mother's life?
Well, my mother has historically been a smoker, and a while back she had a stroke, so she started going to e-cigs, and she's been doing much better.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, but this comes on the heels of similar bans. There was one such call in November of 2012. And then way back in June of 2011, they were spreading around the myth that cell phones cause brain cancer.
Again?
And things like that. Well, that was back in 2011.
Again, it still seems fairly old, like 2009.
It's been around a while, yeah. And it had been pretty thoroughly debunked by that point, which is what made it even more shameful. On the other hand, they did call for drug decriminalization on the 4th of August, and we also relied on them at various times through the year to post information about vaccines and food ingredients, so it's not all bad.
No.
Kind of a mixed bag. Another repeat offender was Matthew Iglesias. We talked about him on the 19th of May, along with Benjamin Lockwood, Charles Nathanson, and Glenn Weil, about this study... where they got basically everything wrong, showing about how tax hikes could grow the economy, even though they can't. And so we talked about all the stuff that they got wrong there.
So we're assuming Food Babe level research and citation?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, and yet sadly they will be more recognized and such, because, well, it just sounds good. I just feel it's good, even though it's not actually good.
Yeah. And, of course, he received it before, back in January 2012, where he just posted this whole screed where he was going against Austrian economics and basically got everything wrong.
Of course. I mean, there's it just doesn't work. It doesn't fill up. It just continues to get disproven. But yeah, it's just like, you know, it just continues to go. It's like the square peg round hole thing.
Well, and economics is just really complex and counterintuitive, and it relies heavily on statistics, which itself is very complex and counterintuitive. So it's really easy to slide into bogosity with all that.
I don't blame people for being ignorant of economics. After all, it is a dismal science. But it is irresponsible to have a loud and vociferous opinion on the subject when you lack such knowledge.
Who are you, Murray Rothbard? Channeling that famous quote.
Yes. Though I probably mangled it.
If you really do channel him, let me know. I got some things to say to him. But never mind. All right, well, another repeat offender, and this was pretty much inevitable, was Barack Obama and his administration.
I am shocked! Shocked, I tell you!
Well, there was the time he appointed a White House cybersecurity leader who was proud of the fact that he knew absolutely nothing about cybersecurity.
Well, yeah, I was there for when that. I don't know. It just seems like it's just best they just grease palms.
Yeah.
And that's how they get there.
And then there was the, I don't remember if this was a Snowden leak or what, but there was an official memo about Obama's kill list, which pretty much said, yeah, the whole thing's murder.
Yeah, well, who cares about that? We need to just continue to keep pushing at them, because, hey, you're not against freedom, are you? I mean, this is for freedom.
And then the TSA got one when they went searching people's backpacks and stuff for Bitcoin. And, of course, Bitcoin is nothing tangible. It's completely virtual.
I was about to say, wait a second, searching people's backpacks?
For Bitcoin.
It reminds me of this little comic I saw once, where someone tries to, where this mugger shows up. He's like, give me all your money. He's like, I don't have any money, I have Bitcoin. He's like, give me all your Bitcoin.
I think Dave actually put that up there. That was hilarious. On the he says, "Yeah,
yeah, here, let me get you started."
And then we gave one to the Air Force for using Martin Luther King Jr. to promote nuclear war.
Yeah, those things don't gel together.
No,
I will say this: at least the nuclear weapon doesn't discriminate against the color of your skin about who it kills.
Yeah, it doesn't care if you're black, white, or different; it will kill you. Nonetheless.
And, of course, Obama urging more war in Iraq, even though we know for sure they don't have any WMDs.
So didn't he run on a platform of ending the war?
He actually didn't. That's what a lot of people put into his mouth and was basically wishful thinking.
Yes. Well, he did end the war. We just left tens of thousands of peacekeeping troops.
Yeah, it's not war, it's peacekeeping.
Yeah, it's armed conflict.
Who cares, as long as it brings them more money.
And we also have the Snowden documents that reveal the fact that Obama's administration used surveillance and pressure tactics aimed at WikiLeaks and its supporters. Real class act, guys.
Doesn't matter for them. They just don't care. All they care about is just keeping their own power. And more people don't care about... I mean, and most people are like, you know, it doesn't affect me, even though it does affect you. It's about feeling good instead of actually doing good. Like voting, you know, they say they felt good voting this person in, President Obama, and everything like that. Oh, I feel good. And in the end, it's just at best, you can say mediocre, and at worst, it's just basically just bad as Bush.
Well, people say, well, Obama's worse than Bush, and people say, well, Bush was worse than Clinton. It's an exponential growth curve. It looks the same no matter where you're on it. All right? It's getting worse. It's going to get worse.
Yeah.
We were talking about different versions of plays before the podcast went up. That reminded me, I'd recently seen a Cabaret again. Any of you guys seen that play?
No.
No.
The musical?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it a long, long time ago. I don't remember much. I remember the slap fight, but that was it.
Well, basically, the ending to the play is the Nazi, spoiler warning, but the ending of the play is the Nazis rising to power and all these. And all the people around them are in the cabaret. It's like, oh, it's only politics. That's not going to ever affect us.
That's how it goes. Well, also garnering a couple of mentions was Food Babe. And yes, I know her real name, and no, I'm not going to give it, because I don't want to give her undeserved attention any more than we have to.
Well, we could let her stupidity haunt her to the grave.
Nah, I think that's going to happen anyway. But she got Idiot Extraordinaire for the article Food Babe Doesn't Want You to Know About.
Yeah, Food Babe, I mean, all the bogosity and just continued, honestly, I don't know if it's actually ignorance about the subject or downright lying. Because all these things have been proven if you just do a Google search or do some legwork on your own. With someone in this much a position knowing about food, being this ignorant about these things, sets a real really sad precedent about how we put people in power, put people in these, oh my goodness, this Food Babe is so great, but yet know nothing. But that's just me.
Well, the article was about Food Babe travel essentials, no reason to panic on the plane, and just one bogus claim after another. We went through it. And, I mean, people were passing it around on all the skeptics forums and all the skeptic Facebook groups and everything, and basically embarrassed Food Babe into taking it down. I went to archive.org and got the archive and started spreading that link around, and everyone grabbed that link and started spreading it. And then she took her entire website off of archive.org.
Oh.
Nothing on her website is on the Wayback Machine anymore. We got like 2 days later because of this. Fortunately, I had a cache of it, so I was able to put it up in the bogus archive at bogosity.tv. So far, this is the only thing. It was created specifically for that purpose, but similar thing might happen in the future. We might use it again, so
I will not be surprised.
And then on the 10th of March, she didn't get Idiot Extraordinaire or anything, but we talked about her claiming that Subway sandwiches were made out of yoga mats.
That.
Yeah, and they actually got Subway to remove the chemical, and all it was just a chemical that, you know, just helps hold the bread together. And yes, it's used to make yoga mats, but then so is water, probably, you know? You know, it was just a dihydrogen monoxide thing.
We need to ban dihydrogen monoxide.
Even though it's not dangerous or anything else, we need to ban it. Kind of like what they did with marijuana and alcohol back in the day.
Well, it's a primary ingredient in things like insecticides and other forms of poison, and they just spray those things on our crops.
And it's a huge contributor to acid rain.
Oh, yeah, it's a primary component of acid rain.
And ingesting it in large amounts can also be lethal.
A teaspoon can kill you. Okay, I think we all know how that goes.
Yeah. Sorry.
But there was one more that she kind of got in. That got passed around that we didn't talk about. But she's talking about the miracle food wheatgrass.
Wheatgrass?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is... I'm going to link you to Michael Shermer's article in Scientific American on wheatgrass. But basically, there's nothing healthy about it. And people say, oh, well, chlorophyll detoxifies the body and has all these health benefits. No, it doesn't. In fact, your digestive system completely breaks down chlorophyll. So she made all sorts of weird claims like that. Chlorophyll makes it high in oxygen, when, of course, what chlorophyll does is break CO2 apart into carbon and oxygen, and it puts the oxygen back in the atmosphere, and it keeps the carbon, which is the exact opposite. It doesn't keep the oxygen. And so it doesn't oxygenate your brain, like she says. And she also says chlorophyll is the first product of light. No, it's not. It's the molecule that takes energy from light and gets that. And therefore it contains more light energy than, get this, any other element. She thinks chlorophyll is an element.
It's a...
Yeah, so she's definitely in the running, I think. And one more repeat offender to talk about. He got biggest bogon emitter twice. And I'm talking about Dr. Mehmet Oz.
Oh, God.
He got it for defending, in front of a congressional committee, his pseudoscientific claims as harmless flowery language.
Wait, harmless flowery language? People actually take his advice. That has effects on people.
Yep, absolutely. And then he got it again for trying to say that GMOs cause autism. I mean, you knew it was coming sooner or later.
One of those?
Yeah. Well, and actually now, a study published in the British Medical Journal looked over a whole bunch of episodes of the Dr. Oz show and concluded that it's very dangerous. Only 46% of his claims were corroborated in any way by the science. 36% had no supporting evidence, and 15% were directly contradicted by the science.
I really need to convince my mother not to watch this guy.
They also looked at The Doctors, which is another daytime show with like five doctors or something. It did a little better, but not much, and really, at the very least, when you're watching these shows, take them with several grains of salt.
So, what did these people, where did these people get their doctorates? And in what exactly?
They're actual MDs. They're actual, real doctors. In fact, Dr. Oz went to Harvard.
I was thinking that maybe they got their doctorates in, like, French literature or something.
Nope. Having those letters beside your name is no guarantee that you know what you're talking about. Which is why argument from authority is a fallacy.
Wait, no, that's not what Dr. Bogus told me.
Alright, so those are our repeat offenders. So, let's go on to our nominations. So let's start with Jonathan Lochey. John, what's your nomination for Idiot of the Year?
Oh, so many choices. 2014 is especially a year of Bogosian in the social justice warrior column. And in particular, the big thing, from what I've been hearing, is the rape culture in college.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
And I believe we had two different cases of false rape accusations on college campuses.
Yeah, there was the big one with the Rolling Stone interview, Rolling Stone in Virginia, a few others. And my nominee is Miss Lena Dunham, the actress of the HBO show Girls and supposed comedian.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Well, I'm sure what she's saying is very funny.
We're going to have a laugh at it, I think.
Yeah. She released an autobiography this year, and there were two big things that jumped out at me to grab some headlines. First was the fact that she, one of us came out and accused a certain individual of raping her while she was an undergraduate at Oberlin College.
Yeah.
That, of course, people jumped on. I was like, oh, look at how, brave she is about coming out at this.
And he was like a rich white Republican, I think.
Yeah. And pretty much it wasn't one big lie.
It wasn't even someone who had ever been to the college. No one like that had ever been to the college.
Yeah.
And then the part that gets the real bigger idiot of the year is previously she basically spends several pages in her book describing how she would more or less sexually assault her little sister when they were both children, even going so far as to describing her activities as, quote, like a child predator trying to attract little children.
Wait, what?
Yeah, and she did it from, like, when she was 7 until she was 17, so it was, like, 10 years or something like that. She'd, like, pay her money to kiss her on the lips and things like that. Have her sleep next to her in bed while she was masturbating. It was just, yeah.
And then had the gall to essentially decide to start reporting on this and had sort of the same reaction we did. She had her lawyer send cease and desist orders and threaten them with libel lawsuits.
Yeah.
Simply for publishing the excerpts that appeared in her own book.
That is not what libel means!
Truth is a defense to libel.
Yeah. It's just, people just, they don't understand. They don't understand that, again, it's feeling good instead of looking through facts and evidence,
But I don't get how you can feel good by raping your own sister. Just saying.
I don't know how, I honestly don't get that. I was like, what in the world's going on here?
Well, and the thing that got me was all the feminists and social justice warriors who went to her defense on this.
It's sickening. Yeah. It is. It's really sickening how people will glom on something because, there's no self-criticism and such. There's no one saying, okay, this is screwed up. We need to fix our own thing. This,
and
on the other hand,
then after people called her BS out on that, then the publisher of the book basically sort of did like this sidestep that it's like, oh, well, we marketed it as a nonfiction book, but now they're trying to act like it's a work of fiction. And
it never happened.
I'm not even sure what part of this is even the fact that she would blatantly lie about something as horrible as being raped. The fact that she would put
openly admit the fact that she sexually assaulted her sister, and apparently thought that no one would really care, or that essentially tried to have that whole thing silenced once he got out. Just very worthy of Idiot of the Year. If it wasn't for Game of Thrones, I probably would have canceled my HBO subscription.
Why is that?
That's your show is on HBO.
Okay. So, Daniel, I believe that your nomination was also related to the Social Justice Warriors.
Shirtstorm. The guy, you're going to make a big deal over... I'm sorry, just...
Yeah, this had to do with the Rosetta mission, which was an absolutely cool mission that landed a robot on a comet. And it should have been the talk of the internet, but it wasn't.
Instead, it was some people deciding to make a big deal of the guy's shirt.
And this was physicist Matt Taylor, one of the physicists involved in it. And he was interviewed on TV wearing this shirt. And, well, the shirt was basically some artwork that the wife of a longtime friend of his had made for him. And it was basically 40s-style pinup women. And some of them had guns, and it's really just kind of like more of a collage or a conglomerate. You really have to kind of look closely to see what it is. But that got the Social Justice Warriors in an uproar.
And the funny thing is, people seem to get that it was a female friend of his actually designed the shirt.
Yep.
And in fact, the funny thing is, I looked this up on Twitter. Believe it or not, she's actually made like scarves. Scarves about this whole thing. I'm like, wow, that's amazing right there.
Mm-hmm.
She obviously has a lot of internalized hatred for women.
Yeah. I don't know, but I mean, we heard it all over the place. Rose Eveleth, a journalist for The Atlantic, said, quote, "Thanks for ruining the cool comet landing for me, a-hole." And The Verge wrote, quote, "I don't care if you landed a spacecraft on a comet. Your shirt is sexist and ostracizing."
Please. I you know what? Again, it's the feelings, man. They want to legislate every problem, everything else. It just, you know what? The video game reviewer / blogger Razorfist just put out a video about this. About, well, Metal Gear. I'll link out to the video anyway because this is for a win. But this guy, at the end of the video, they said the people of the modern left turned into the conservative parents on crack. You think they could legislate every little thing away, trying to say this, trying to shame people to saying that this one homunculus thing, trying to make people into monoliths and stereotypes and everything else, the self-bigotry
I believe you mean homogenous.
Yes. Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. It's disgusting. We are all individuals.
I'm not.
Another Monty Python quote for you this year. And there was another tweet that said, and this talks about STEM. STEM is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. This quote, "His shirt says to women in STEM, I have no respect for you as a professional. When I look at you, I see a sex object." Even though there were quite a number of women working on his team.
In fact, there was one woman who actually directed the whole thing. I can't remember her name. She did. Why can't they talk more about this? The positives.
Yeah.
Instead, it's the negatives. The negatives and negatives and negatives and negatives.
But it's not only that. He was interviewed by a woman. And when you're interviewing someone, you know, you're the one who says, okay, let's have you over here. Let's have you looking like this. Let's run a comb through your hair. Let's brush powder on you. So this was a woman, if she had thought there was anything wrong with his shirt, she would have said, you might want to change your shirt. That's probably not appropriate for that. No! This was like after the fact, you know, people just finding something to complain about and jumping all over it.
Yeah.
And I mean, the thing about it is, we're seeing this a lot from modern feminism about how, you know, women's sexuality is bad and all that sort of stuff, as if there's some kind of false dichotomy, like you can't see a woman as sexy and intelligent at the same time. And really, when you talk about cultures that censor sexualized expression, they usually don't have a very good record when it comes to women's rights.
Exactly. Go to look in, and I don't want to turn to one of those people who's outgoing or and everything else, but when you look at other cultures, especially in the Middle East, especially in Africa too, it's sad. This is what these people who really think social justice warriors or what you want to call them, that's a success for them. It trends over else, and in the end, if they're trending number one, that's the most important thing. It's all about for themselves. They don't want to help anybody.
I'm not finding who the leader of the project was, but I am finding female names associated with the project. There's scientist Claudia Alexander, planetary scientist Monica Grady, and one of the lead researchers, Catherine Alweg. So, yeah, there are quite a few women on that team.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a picture of him standing next to Monica Grady wearing the shirt, and, you know, she's smiling and waving and everything. So she didn't seem too put off by the shirt. They seem to be saying, like, well, gee, I want to go into science, but here's a guy wearing a bizarre shirt. I think I'll go do something else. No! No!
Anyone who says that obviously didn't really want to go into the field to begin with.
And they're going to realize too late that all this type of this stuff was well-intentioned behavior is going to lead to a very bad end. History is not going to look very positive on this. Because once you let this stuff happen, they're going to wake up and realize, like, oh, maybe we shouldn't have done all this. We wasted our time and energy instead of actually focusing on real problems and solutions to problems.
Okay, and Charles, what's your nomination?
Well, my nomination is, and honestly, I think I'm surprised no one wants to talk about it, is the Sony hacked. Oh, man, the Sony hacks and everything else.
We didn't talk much about it because in our last we did our last episode a few weeks ago, and at the time, we didn't know that much about it.
Yeah, but when you look at what's happened and all these other things that just came out, them basically bashing Angela Lee, you have, you know, calling her an idiot, then you have this huge blatant racism against Barack Obama and Denzel Washington saying, well, he might be good here, but he doesn't draw overseas, even though the Equalizer did pretty well overseas as well. Gosh, Sony.
And then I forget what actor it is, but there's some actor who supposedly got paid like tens of thousands of dollars to drive himself to the set or something like that. And
yeah.
There's all sorts of stuff that's just really weird.
Not getting into the Spider-Man stuff, because that's oh boy.
Don't even get me started there.
An Aunt May movie, people. They were looking at making an Aunt May movie just to keep the Spider-Man franchise. Because, hey, who cares about Venom, Spider-Man, or J. Jonah Jameson? The main character is an Aunt May prequel movie, because that's going to get butts into seats.
But, I mean, the real surprising stuff was things like text files full of passwords in plain text.
Plain text? Isn't that a little unsafe?
Well, it's like people have all these passwords to remember. You know, people who, you know, don't know about things like LastPass or whatever, instead of trying to memorize these passwords, they put it in a text file, save it to their desktop as passwords.txt.
At least save it as something less obvious.
Well, no, because security through obscurity is a bad idea. Doesn't work. No, use LastPass.
Yeah, and even then, here's the crazy thing about this. And all the stuff, including all the hacking came from North Korea. And, you know, since they take down the interview, a movie basically saying they're going to kill the new leader, Kim Jong-un. Honestly, I wanted to see the movie, but yet they canceled it. And everyone and everybody who is anybody called them out on it. And then they released it on 300 movie screens.
The little art house movie screens, that's kind of the release it got.
Yeah. And I would not be surprised if this movie actually, you know, gets nominated for an Oscar or something like that.
I don't know, because apparently it's not a very good movie. But it's doing well on the pirate sites.
Yeah, and not only that, but also a lot of people I do watch and listen, they said this is probably one of the best out there. You know, some people say it's good or bad. I don't know, but I'll probably order it or something like that, because I do like
I guess if you like those Seth Rogen movies, which I don't care for, but apparently it's just typical for his fare.
Yeah, but I really do like his movies. Always have. But honestly, what we found out, but you know what's interesting? Because we found out today, which is surprising, but I'm not really surprised, that supposedly the Sony hack might have been an inside job.
Well, because they've been blaming the North Koreans, and Obama's been saying he'll be responding to the North Koreans, and I wasn't really sure of that at the beginning, and the more I learned about it, the more I became pretty sure it couldn't have been the North Koreans, and...
They have nothing.
Well, they have things like, oh, well, the IP address was North Korean. Okay, rule one, you fake your IP address! You use a proxy server or a VPN or just spoof it directly or something like that. They also said that the malware was similar to other malware North Korea has used in other attacks, but the security experts are like, no, we don't think North Korea was behind those either. And it's also not at all uncommon for hackers to take one piece of malware, modify it, and then do their own thing with it.
But you know, the most interesting thing about this is that it looks like if it does come to be basically employees or fired employees, which some people are saying right now, what does that do for Sony and everything else once again for not only kowtowing not to North Korea, but to brainless employees? Oh, that stock's going to go way down now.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of people who are... have the crazy conspiracy theory, oh, Sony did this on purpose as a publicity stunt. No!
Yeah.
This hurt them. It hurt them big. And, I mean, the whole thing about the movie The Interview, no one really said anything about it until the press started speculating about it. They speculated it for a week, and then this hacker group who claims to have done a Guardians of Peace said, yeah, that's it. It's about the movie The Interview. Yeah, that's the ticket. So, I mean, it was just completely manufactured.
Yeah, but you know, how bad does it look for Sony now? No, if they, I mean, if it came to a dictator or something, that's like, okay, it came to a dictator, you know, whatever, they have some range of authority, even as crazy as North Korea it is. But now you've basically come down, they've caved to these know-nothing employees? Seriously?
Well, I mean, the thing about it was, because, I mean, like I said, they were getting, you know, password.txt files from people's desktops. That's why I think I said this on the podcast. My initial speculation was they got the backup servers because that's kind of like a one-stop shop for all that stuff. And it's a lot easier to do that than compromise all the computers. But then, you know, stuff like that started coming out, like the malware just kept copying itself around all the computers. And the IT people were actually running around yanking out network cables from computers trying to beat the malware from infecting the machines. So this was obviously done by someone with a lot of knowledge of the internal workings of Sony's network infrastructure. And the cybersecurity firm Norse has said that it points to a woman named Lena. They haven't given her last name, but they have said that she has claimed to be a member of Guardians of Peace. So,
yeah,
we don't really know why, but that appears to be what happened.
Yeah, again, but that's our idiocy, because honestly, the Sony hack and all the information that came through, it just confirms that Sony is full of basically idiots, racist, and for the most part, just bad business people.
Well, I mean, they're a huge company, so you're going to have people like that. But, you know, it's just apparently things that were tolerated by the higher-ups. And then, of course, there's the lack of security that led to it. And in fairness, it is a lot more difficult to secure this huge enterprise environment like Sony than it is to, you know, you've got a small business in one location, you can secure that a lot easier. But still, there were a lot of things they could and should have done to protect people from this. And so, you know, you've got celebrities and other people who have all of this information about them that's being leaked out that they really would rather other people not know. And I mean, it's just all this terrible stuff.
I know, but yet the Sony hack did reveal so much things that this whole company, which is, people say, oh, they're doing good, they're good. Yeah, the video game stuff is doing well. Their music and movies and technology fronts are doing so well. And I expect after this whole fallout and everything that's going on, I expect those things to go under as well, because most people are probably really pissed off at what Sony's been doing. That's the only thing. It's just, people are required to wake up and say, you know, maybe I think about leaving, you know, Sony for a while.
Yeah, but you know, I bet if this hack had happened to a lot of those other corporations, they would have found the same thing.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of dirt in Hollywood. I'm rooting for other people just to get in the game so we can actually get some competition. We could get these old dinosaurs and these people who are just incompetent out so we can have some new flesh blood, new and positive ideas, new blood that's as needed.
All right, well, thanks, guys, for your nominations. Let's go on and listen to Dave Turcotte talking about his nomination with Jonathan Lochey and Travis Retriever.
Hey, everybody, I'm Dave Turcotte. I'm here with John Lochey and Travis.
Yeah.
And we're going to be doing my Idiot of the Year segment, and oh boy, do I got a doozy for you. We're going to the land of fairy tales, and God, I fucking hate my life. Gawker!
Oh, yeah, it makes me glad I'm no longer in university.
Whew. Yeah, but we're going on Gawker because we have a specific candidate for our Idiot of the Year. I was going to do Gawker as a whole, but let's be honest, we'd be here till next year.
Indeed.
And I think the deadline ends a little bit before then.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Anyway, today, my Idiot of the Year nomination is Mark Cohen. The reason why we're nominating this asshole is because of a particular article he wrote on Gawker titled Douchebag, the white racial slur we've all been looking for. For a guy who's writing about douchebags, well, he sure fits the bill. He starts off by saying, I am a white, middle-class male professor at a big public university. Oh, good start. And every year, I get up in front of 150 to 200 undergraduates in a class on the history of race in America, and I ask them about the white racial slurs. And he says the results are disappointing. Self-loathing much?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He has to check that white privilege.
He says, first of all, everyone knows that saying anything overtly racist in front of strangers is totally taboo. Yeah, because that's called decency.
No, duh. Even I understand that.
Of course, it's white racial slurs, so that's okay.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. And I'd also like to point out that the title of this thing, like, the one that we've all been waiting for, like, really? So, apparently, the way to combat racism is with reverse racism. Yeah, that in no way makes him look like the asshole to their rectum.
I don't have time to explain that learning to share anger at injustice is the start of a common conversation, and that they can learn how to recognize where privilege resides in their own lives by reading about and listening to experiences of others who do not have it. I gotta run. So I just say to them, it's a long argument and an endless series of principled choices, but the short version is simply, don't be a douchebag.
Classy.
Well, good start! Don't be a douchebag! Don't do this fucking lesson! Don't damage these fucking kids.
And learn to practice what you preach while you're at it. It's like the Catholic Church. I swear, oh, but you see, you know, that's different.
This may sound like shallow, even flip advice, but it's a hard-won and well-tested insight using the multicultural classroom as a laboratory. It came to me a few years back at the end of the standard exercise in class. What about douchebag? I asked the students experimentally. Have any of you ever called one black or brown or Asian a douchebag? How about a woman or gay folks? Yes, I have! Many times!
Yes, absolutely! In fact, I remember this one... What was that? It was a video by some guy called, like, Your Favorite Martian, or some animated music video from a popular YouTuber. And I remember that the video title was called, I think it was like something like Mr. Douchebag. The kicker, the guy who was the douchebag, was black. Oh, snap.
I've called people douchebag many times. Not just white people. I've called many people douchebags. Fuck it, I already said I'm going to swear like a sailor. I've called people cunts, and not just women.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus Christ. Oh, wait, that's atheist privilege. I'm sorry.
Yeah, atheist privilege, religious privilege, agnostic privilege, everything privilege.
But anyway, the students had no recognizable response to the initial suggestion, because it's a stupid fucking suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
But with each refining question, ever call a poor person a douchebag? Yes.
Yes.
Their widening eyes become knowing nods. Nods became spoken agreement, and the scattered yes gathered into a room of collectively blown minds. Why are their minds blown?
Because they realize they're having to pay God knows how much in tuition for this bullshit.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. So why had none of us recognized this before? Because it's not a fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why did this slur actually work? It doesn't. What does the human douchebag really look like? You. Why do we call him that? And what do we hate about the douchebag? Because they're fucking assholes. like you.
In his case, my advice, the professor saying this, avoid the mayor. Just saying.
Anyway, he then goes on to say, this douchebag is someone overwhelmingly white, rich, heterosexual males who insists upon, nay, demands his white privilege in every possible set and setting. The douchebag is equally douchey. That's an adjectival version of the term, in public and in private. He is a douchebag waiting in line for coffee as well as in the bedroom. Oh, well, so you, hipsters.
So
you!
Yeah, that makes
you, Mr.
Oh, yeah,
Cohen.
That actually makes a lot of good sense.
You are a douchebag! There are plausible objections to douchebag. It feels like an overused insult. So earlier you were saying nobody uses it, but now you're saying it's overused.
Oh, but that's count because consistency is apparently white privilege, am I right?
You inconsistent douchebag. And its origins lie in the male insult culture that identifies women's bodies as an object of contempt. Fuck you, you lying sack of shit.
I mean,
I was trying to make it sound like a pickup artist community thing. Yeah, please. Brother.
But even as such, it is an anecdotal monument to male blindness. And an actual douchebag isn't feminine, it's quite literally a useless sexist tool. It's alienated from women. So then what's the fucking problem? Anyway. And with that particular understanding, I believe the term douchebag is a white racist slur we have all been waiting for.
And by we, you mean you, so you can describe your own self-loathing.
Yeah, pretty much. Of course, some of you are thinking, do we really need a white racial slur? No, I'm thinking, when will you shut the fuck up?
Why is it that he focuses on equality and not quality? Because it reminds me of a bit Shane said way back when, real quick. Equality is nothing without quality. If I make 20k a year and he makes 100 grand a year, which you can be sure his overprivileged ass, yeah, I went there, does, then we're both better off if we both make 10k a year. Equality just ain't all it's cracked up to be, unless you have quality to go with it.
But it's funny that you mention that, because he then goes on to say, is not the vision of equality that we should aspire toward, a world without the N-word or douchebag? Okay, I have a problem with this sentiment. You're talking about racial slurs and everything and how, oh, it's good to have a racial slur, but then you bring up another racial slur and you're like, the N-word. It's got to be tamed.
Yeah.
Not even consistent. Maybe. Maybe it is. But as everyone who is not colorblind can plainly see, that is not yet that day.
And he is, of course, making it that much harder to reach by further they're kicking people around. You reap what you sow, asshole.
Further dividing people only sets race relations that much more back.
Yeah.
That's the fact. And people like this, that is exactly what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he goes on to say, the term douchebag, again, used as we already use it, has the power to name white ruling class power and white sexist privileges noxious, selfish, toxic, and foolish, and above all, dangerous.
Oh, you mean like the undue influence you no doubt put on your students during this crap that no doubt accompanies, which is no doubt the cause of them agreeing with you, you insufferable cunt?
Since the coming of color blindness as the official ideology of neoliberal racism, really?
What does it even mean?
Neoliberal racism? First off, classic liberalism would not condone the bullshit you do. So if anybody is the neoliberal, it's you, asshole.
Second off, I hear all these zombie terms like, you know, oh, neoliberal, it's like, dude, English, you speak it? That makes no sense. Stop with the zombie terms and the fog speak.
I think he's making words up as he goes.
Yeah, that much was obvious from the start of the article, but I think it just needs to be stated again, just to be sure, and to draw the point home, you know?
We have needed a precise term with which to recognize and ridicule white privilege when we see it. So we hear it, holy shit. So we, here it is.
Bro, do you even English?
Is that even English? Okay, breaking the fourth wall for a minute. He actually wrote on the article, so we hear it is.
So he means so here it is?
That is not English. Not even, so we hear it is. That is the actual sentence used in the final paragraph.
Yeah.
Use it and give the douchebags the thing they are always imagining anyways, reverse discrimination.
Because as we all know, two wrongs always make a right. Oh wait, no it doesn't.
I have my face in my hands.
Yeah, there isn't enough facepalm in the universe.
The term reverse discrimination is a bullshit made-up term by people who are racist and don't want to admit it. You cannot have reverse discrimination. There is only discrimination.
Indeed.
This is the same kind of bullshit mentality that so many social justice warriors love to fucking promote. This idea that somehow something only applies to a specific group or subgroups and does not apply to all. Words have fucking meaning, people. You don't just get to change the definition just because you fucking want to. The dictionary is fucking correct. I've had people who have told me straight up, that, oh, well, racism simply means bigotry plus power. So it can't apply to white people because white people are the predominant race.
Of course, it also fails to take into account individualism as well, even if you go into that little cute little definition. Okay, so you're telling me a black cop beating the shit out of a poor white kid actually is the unprivileged one in that scenario? I mean, really? Yeah, no, fuck these guys.
Oprah fucking Winfrey. Tell me she has fucking white privilege.
Best two-word rebuttal ever.
No, they'll just say that she's a fucking puppet from white people or some stupid bullshit. But anyway, before we drag this on any fucking further, because the article's actually done. Yeah, this guy, history revisionism, inconsistent bullshit, setting race relations back hundreds of years, and just all-around fucking stupidity. This guy is my Idiot of the Year nomination. I can't think of anybody else.
Thank you, Dave, John, and Travis. Now, they did go over the entire article. What you just heard, believe it or not, was the edited highlights. I will put the full unedited conversation, both on the podcast page and on the YouTube channel, in the near future, so please watch out for that. But for now, let's hear Tim Dyson's nomination.
Hello, boys and girls. Lord Hawkeye here again. And for this year's Idiot of the Year, I can think of no field that has worked harder to earn this coveted award than gaming journalism. You would think they would be beyond the usual drama and hysteria-fueled nonsense that is the norm of mainstream journalism, but you'd be quite hideously wrong, it turns out. They have lied, misrepresented gamers, and even gone so far as to outright slander them if that were not outrageous enough. They even had the nerve to act surprised and outraged when their actions returned to haunt them as readership declined and advertisers pulled out. Their actions have been an atrocious affront to journalism ethics and have harmed the careers and livelihoods of many innocent people in the industry. To Kotaku, Polygon, Destructoid, Badass Digest, Ars Technica, Games on Net, and all other journalists who participated in this farce, I nominate for Idiot of the Year. And some free advice. You do women no favors by being enablers of this type of toxic entitled behavior. You are misogynists who treat women as children purely to feed your own egos. Outrageous and despicable behavior. Shame on all of you. Until next time, be aware and be wise.
So it's time for me to decide. Out of all the worthy contenders, which one deserves to be Idiot of the Year? The one who bleated the most bogosity, whether deliberately or out of stupidity, that rang the loudest through the world. And I think when you look at the sheer magnitude of misinformation, it really comes down to a tie between Food Babe and Dr. Oz. Both, throughout the year, and even long before, have ensnared untold amounts of people with their falsehoods to the point of potentially putting their own health at risk. So to break this tie, I think it all comes down to magnitude, and while both have their audience, I think it's clear who has caused the most harm, week in and week out, as millions watch and are potentially fooled. Everything from diet scams, to homeopathy, to fear-mongering about beneficial technologies such as GMOs, and even questioning the benefit of vaccines, with one unsubstantiated claim after another going against both the scientific evidence and standard medical practice. as the show wins award after award and one media group after another comments on its influence. It's impossible to count how many people have been harmed, which is why it's important to bring as much attention to this as possible. That someone so careless and fraudulent can be listened to and respected and admired by so many is beyond reprehensible. It is an epidemic all on its own. So out of all the contenders, above and beyond all the bogosity and stupidity we've seen in 2014, this podcast declares the one that stands out above the rest, whose misinformation has caused untold harm and will likely continue to do so, we officially shame Dr. Mehmet Oz as our 2014
Idiot of the Year!
So that wraps up one more year of throwing brickbats at the bogus. I hope you've enjoyed everything we've brought to you in 2014 and promise to try to make 2015 even better. Thanks to my co-hosts, thanks to everyone who contributed to the podcast, and above all, thank you for just listening. We'll be back on January 12th for the first official podcast of 2015. Until then, here's a quote from Stephen Novella. What do you think science is? There's nothing magical about science. It is simply a systematic way for carefully and thoroughly observing nature and using consistent logic to evaluate results. Which part of that exactly do you disagree with? Do you disagree with being thorough, using careful observation, being systematic, or using consistent logic? The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License.
Bogosity.
Charles, I believe you had a nomination for us for Idiot of the Year. Charles, you there?
Can I go first real quick? I might need to slog off here in a minute.
Yeah, because I think we lost Charles. I thought it was quiet.
Hey, I thought I was fixing that.